I want you to try something for me. So if you're able to, I want you to tighten your shoulders up. Shrug them up as high as they can go, all the way up to your ears if you can, and hold them there. Now squeeze your eyes shut, clench your jaw as hard as you can. Okay, relax. All right, so this week, I've been reflecting on the times in my life that I felt tense, and how that tension impaired my ability to do other things, or made my experiences worse, or had negative effects on my health overall. Now, some of you know, most of you actually probably don't know, I've been taking tap lessons for about 6 years now. But I do know that some of you know a little something about dance and performance. And holding tension in your body limits your flexibility and your ability to move fluidly. And this is very true in tap. Have you ever wondered how those professional hoofers make every single step look completely clean and effortless? One of the keys lies in relaxing the ankles and allowing movement to come from higher up in the leg. And I'm also a cellist, and I cannot count the number of times that I've heard my teacher tell me or another student to relax. Muscle tension in any kind of a string player, whether it's in your face or your neck or your shoulders or your arms or your hands, can negatively impact the quality of the music. Tension can restrict the vibrations of the instrument. It makes it difficult to play fast passages. Evelyn's nodding back there. It can make transitions feel very jerky and uneven, and it can make it difficult to create something that we call vibrato, or something that gives depth of expression to the music. One more example. When I was a young martial arts student, one of the things that we learn is how to escape when someone grabs us. And of those many escape techniques, and there must have been 30-something, my least favorite was when someone pulled my hair. One class, my teacher chose another student who was probably 4 years older than me, a foot taller than me. To give you some idea of this guy, he went on to become a Navy SEAL. Anyway, he grabbed this big fistful of my hair, and he squeezed until the tears came to my eyes. And immediately, just like a few minutes ago, my face tightened up, my shoulders shot up to my ears, my whole body went tense, involved and absorbed in that pain, just like you did a few minutes ago. And the more tense I got, the more it hurt, and the harder it was for me to even think, much less try to get out. When I read apocalyptic passages like this week's gospel, I get tense. I get anxious. I feel unsettled when I think about wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and famines and violence and the end. And unfortunately, I think perhaps that's even more true now. Because many of us see these exact things coming to fruition in the world around us. Many of us are scared. Some of us are angry. And we worry about climate changes. We worry about political changes and what lies on the horizon and what that might mean for us as individuals, as families, as communities, as churches. This past week, I've seen more grief, more fear, and more sadness reflected in the faces of some of my patients who were trans or non-binary. More than I'd ever care to see in a lifetime. I've seen helplessness reflected in the eyes of our allies as they wonder, how can I help? What can I do? How can I support? And what can I do to ease this burden? How do we bring hope back? In short, I see a community in tension, poised in a state of fight or flight. But here's the thing, the more we tense up, the more we isolate. The more we isolate and shut ourselves off from each other, the more enveloped and overwhelmed with fear and anxiety we become. Like a deer in the headlights, we become paralyzed. Or with some guy's hand in your hair. You can't think, you can't move, and you can't act. This is how many communities are feeling right now. And I'm not saying that fear or anger or sadness aren't valid responses, because they absolutely are. But I am saying that the strain can be harmful, if not deadly in some cases. One of the things that this tension does or can do is cause us to stop breathing. And think back a minute. When you tensed up, shoulders were up, your eyes were squeezed shut, did you breathe? I bet not. And do that all again for just a second. Now exhale. I saw it. What happened? You relax? Were you suddenly more aware of all the parts that had been clenched? Did you become more aware of your body, of your breath? Breathing, by the way, is what got me out of that horrific hair pull. Breathing made the pain less. It made my mind relax. It made it so I could focus on what I needed to do. Exhaling in particular calms us down because it lowers our heart rate, relaxes our muscles, and it quiets that fight or flight response. Exhaling creates space in our minds and in our bodies for the next breath. Now, last week, a very wise and cherished deacon mentor told me that where grief and hope intersect is a liminal space of faith. I love liminal spaces, by the way, and I believe we're standing in that space right now, caught between the grief that we feel and that hope that we so desperately need to hold on to, between the exhalation of one breath and the inhalation of the next. And it's within these liminal spaces that we often most powerfully encounter the holy. And I wonder, instead of our next breath being the world's air, which is often stagnant with fear and anxiety, what if in this holy liminal space, we were to inhale the breath of God? It's through this ruach, this breath of God, that God brought light and order into an unordered world. That life was imparted. That God saved God's people from the Egyptians and from the floodwaters. It's through this ruach that the Holy Spirit was given. And it's through this breath of God that we take in God's life-giving presence. It's where we can find a small place of soothing peace and reassurance and renewal amidst all the storms that are going on around us. Just as the air fills our lungs, the breath of God fills us and sustains us, guides us, comforts us, and empowers us, filling our lives with God's presence and power. Earthquakes, famines, wars, violence, when these threaten to overwhelm us, let us also not forget that birth pangs precede new life, bringing forth new beginnings, new possibilities. Birth pangs are what lead us to new breath. So let us strive to focus not on fear, not on anxiety, but on the promise of one who is always faithful, always loving and always present, always breathing new life and new energy into us. As the song, the hymn says, "Breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do. Breathe on me, breath of God, until my heart is pure, until with thee I will one will, to do or to endure. Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly thine, till all this earthly part of me glows with thy fire divine. Breathe on me, breath of God, so shall I never die, but live with thee the perfect life of thine eternity. Just breathe." Amen.